There's a small accident on LFA this morning. It was causing some problems. And then apparently Lockwood is completely shut down.
Hmm. Oh, old Lockwood is the one that goes off on the color.
Yeah, the one that goes. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. This is a collective bargaining session on November 15th, 2018, with the University of Central Florida collective bargaining team representing the Board of Trustees and the bargaining team representing the United Faculty of Florida chapter at the University of Central Florida. I have before me the minutes from last session.
Whoever needs it, I've got one there.
Does anybody have any observations or suggested changes to the minutes? No. No? Okay. Good. Well, then they look good to me. No. Thank you, Charlie. Was this somebody's sunburst, a starburst that I'm stealing?
It was on the table.
We think it's from Halloween.
Leftover Halloween.
Oh, okay. I shouldn't just have grabbed
it's sealed,
candy that was sitting, for one thing.
Who knows? How long it's been there?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, probably laced with LSD in a few minutes. I'll start.
This is being recorded.
Really hallucinating. I'm reading a really good book now.
Oh, what's it called?
It's called, I think it's called All the Little Fires.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Celeste. I don't know how you would say her last name. It's NG.
NG? Oh, okay.
It's a really good book.
It must be good. I'm going to use
it. I think it's called, was it All the Little Fires?
I think so.
The Many Little Fires.
You brought that up in class.
We always start by talking about books.
Alrighty then.
Okay.
All right. Okay. The floor is yours.
All right.
Have you met Mr. Mathemar already?
We just met.
This morning. Thank you. Well, thanks for coming this morning and being flexible to insert a little extra meeting. We really wanted to make sure that we have a chance to meet with some of the shifts in our team and some of the work that we need to do to try to make sure that our next four-hour session is productive as possible. I think we all want to get a deal here. We all want to come to an agreement. And I think there's probably a pretty broad zone of agreement that we can try to start identifying because we really ultimately share really similar superordinate goals, right? And we really want the University of Central Florida to be a place where students can have access to education and be successful. And of course, our bargaining unit of faculty is a really critical component of that. So we're just looking to try to get a good contract, a fair contract, and we want to engage equally in timely and good faith bargaining. So we just want to think about, you know, the UCF is a place of inclusion, a place of belonging for our students. We need to make sure that the circumstances for a safe, equitable work environment for faculty are also there so that we can be competitively resourced, right? So we really do want to try to work towards wrapping this up and recognize that there's some probably incredibly complex areas of negotiation that we may need to come to agreement to move to next year in order for us to stop bargaining for what should be last year, right? Because we're a little bit late now in terms of that, and make sure that we close this out as quickly as possible for faculty so they can get back to doing the excellent work that they do for the university. And start finding the spaces where maybe we can agree to be in status quo until moving forward, so that we can start actually engaging in some pretty meaningful bargaining about the specific areas where we have more distance. But I think there probably are some areas right now that we have some room to agree more quickly rather than pushing that off until later. So that's kind of the goal, to find some of those spaces to be more strategic together about what we need to address immediately and some things that we can move forward on and end this semester for everybody concerned.
Well, we welcome that and look forward to working with you in achieving that. I think last time we met, we started having that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was very fruitful.
Great.
So, what can we... do you have any ideas, suggestions on how in process we do this, or is there some homework we need to do on our side to help this along?
Mm-hmm. I think it's probably both. There will probably be some homework that emerges from our conversation, and that this can help us get some of that done and put in writing and shared before the next bargaining session, so that can be a really productive meeting. And then maybe there are also some space where we could talk today about priorities in terms of what are the priority issues, what are the things that we can get towards checking off that box, what are the spaces where we're really close, and we can start engaging in that.
Okay. In process, how do you see us doing that?
I think
going through a list.
Yeah, if we could talk about what are the kind of tier one issues that we really need to hash out, and what are some things that maybe we can move to a secondary tier and come to some agreement that those will be reopeners in the future.
Okay. Josh, Sherry, Chuck, do you want to take a 2-minute caucus?
Sure, we can do that.
And then step out, step back in, go from there.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Great.
Mason's stuck in the same traffic jam.
Yeah, I just saw that email from Mason.
Yeah, he's on his way.
Well, I don't know that area at all. So.
Well, thanks for that opportunity to meet. I guess one of the things that in terms of how we should process this. And I guess a couple sessions back, we came in and we had a full book, contract book. And then last time, I think we walked through about half of it, would you say?
Yeah, we got up to about promotion, tenure area.
But we didn't get through all of it. We really didn't, through that process, address the issue, I think, on either side of priorities. I think we were all candid about things that we felt strongly about. Parking. But maybe I'm misinterpreting, but I think would you see us going through all the articles one by one, and or just coming in with a pile It says this is you know, door one, this is door two, this is door three in terms of priority. And how would you envision all of this?
Yeah, so I think I would envision that we could have a conversation where we figure out what are some of the essential priorities and start to think about what are some of the things that we can push to reopeners for the future so that we can actually accomplish what we need to accomplish. I mean, as a general principle, our priority is equity in the contract, right? Making sure that there is equity across our bargaining unit in terms of rights, privileges, and protections. So that's going to be the leading theme of the issues that we need to address.
When you say that, how does that manifest itself in the collective bargaining agreement itself? Like, what areas of the contract are you do you see falling into that area of achieving equity?
Mm-hmm. I think some general...
You can just give me one example.
Yeah, one example would be, for instance, not having differential status of members of our bargaining unit. So having a different category of limitations for, say, auxiliary appointments. An example would be addressing workload equity in a general principle in the contract. We're large, right? And that's part of who we are as UCF. But UCF, this is big. This is our whole thing. And we want to be able to support the notion of scale times excellence. But in order to produce that excellence, we need to see equitable treatment across our 1,600 members.
I'm sorry, Jim, can you say that again? I didn't hear that last sentence. Something about numbers.
Across
1,600
members.
Numbers. I don't like numbers.
All right. I'm sorry if I'm. I think usually I'm not this dense, but maybe they would have told you that. He's always this dense. So let me see if I'm understanding that.
Mm-hmm.
In some of our articles, some of the process rights
mm-hmm.
or float by rank or status.
Mm-hmm.
There may be articles where there are benefits that only apply to certain ranks of status.
Mm-hmm.
We have, for example, there's priorities that are built into our collective bargaining agreement
mm-hmm.
right now based on rank and status. For example, in the area of layoffs,
mm-hmm.
or in the area of, or the applicability of a nominee appointment,
mm-hmm.
And when you say equity across for all 1,600, are you trying to say that where we have a different treatment based on status and rank, you want to see that go away?
Some of that, certainly.
But I guess am I catching the right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Okay. I just want to understand.
So then, for example, in the layoff article,
mm-hmm.
we would not make any differentiation between those who are tenured and those who are non-tenured. Or we could lay off tenured people. We could non-reappoint tenured people.
I mean, obviously, the goal is always to bring everybody up to
a
place of having...
Rights and benefits.
Yeah, rights and benefits, not to eliminate them from anyone. And it can be incredibly difficult. It is, of course, a privilege of tenure that I am certainly a member of, to have some job security. The academic market and the academic calendar... requires us to be sensitive to timelines in a particular way, and there are people who are essential to the business of the university and the business of other faculties, such as our award-winning instructional designers, such as our CAPS members, right? We don't have an inclusive, equitable campus community without those members, so we would like to see their jobs also be secure. We would like to see workload be addressed in a meaningful way. There's really disparate experiences of that across campus.
Hmm.
Does anybody have anything to say?
There are some interesting classifications in the unit. One is physician, for example. So, how would you envision that work equitable workload for teaching faculty, instructional designers, physicians, psychologists, and CAPS? What does that look like? How does one achieve that?
Sure. I think there's some complexity in terms of implementation of that. I think a key priority is addressing that is a strategic priority of the university by even having it in the contract, right? And certainly there's some room for flexibility about what that looks like across position, because there are really different job activities, work activities across our various positions. But the idea, and some might say, why would you need to address that in a contract? Well, I'm a big believer in future-proofing our policies and our contracts. So even if we have people in place who really care about those things, that's not forever. And wanting to ensure that is a principle of the way that we determine what jobs look like, so that we don't have such differential experiences across things like campus, especially as we become further bifurcated across space and place. Having more consistency, not less, in order to make those jobs equitable for Rosen, for this campus, for our downtown campus, for a medical campus.
Okay. Well, if I had to describe some of the, for your purposes, because I think we did it somewhat last time, some of the thoughts that went into our drafting of the proposed contract. One of the things, and I'm going to need help here with this, but one of the things that we were approaching the negotiations with was trying to kind of take a test of each of the articles in the existing contract and kind of ask ourselves, is it necessary for a collective bargaining agreement between the parties? Or is it some kind of language that is some legacy holdover from when the Board of Regents was negotiated on a statewide basis? And I think one of the things we talked about throughout the course of our negotiations is there's a lot there that we think is simply just by the way that we read it, we go, how does this apply to us today? We think that's got to be language premised on the platform of a state university system with one collective bargaining agreement negotiated and administered at Tallahassee by what would have been the Board of Governors now. But now that we have our own campus contract and our own campus unit, are some of these things still necessary? I think one of the things we talked about, and I know that there was a response that said why they thought your team thought it was still something to keep. But we were saying, like, clearly, you know, the consultation probably was the local interaction, because everything else was going on up in Tallahassee, and if they had to have a device for somebody on a local level to get together on a regular basis, not collective bargaining, to talk about what was going on in Tallahassee and being sent down, because that consultation language is the same language that was in the Blue Book. I'm not picking on consultation, because I know that the response was, we still like to have consultation. I know that. But that was one of our thoughts in approaching all of this. I think another thought process we had was not relinquishing some core discretion on the part of the university administration that they've had for the entire time the university's operated, and currently enjoy and the other universities in the state university system also enjoy, mm-hmm. and that are in the contract and are necessary for us to do things like be able to effectively deliver the product. So, for example, I think there was sort of a suggestion about having to give notice of an assignment at a very early date, right? Like months in advance of the start of the semester, and that really takes away a great deal of flexibility for the university to be able to put, you know, have classes, have the person sign, because some of those decisions have to be made fairly close to the start of class. So, I mean, so I think those are two things. Is there any other philosophical approach that we sort of had in all of this? I guess there's some things that, because of our record of grievances having been filed over them or arbitrations having been occurring on multiple occasions, we felt needed to be addressed and clarified so that whatever ambiguity is driving these grievances and arbitrations and differences between the parties, that we would address those and clarify them. So I think philosophically that was our approach. Was there anything else? Am I missing anything?
No.
So,
I mean, typically when you do a full book bargain, full book contract, as you know, I'm sure, you start more from the place where you were talking about, and you establish, you go through and you eliminate those things that you think you can live with the status quo, and each side has a certain number of articles that they say, okay, these are the key things, that's the hills you're willing to die on, these are the hills we're willing to die on. We were a bit surprised this session when we came in and we were told, well, no, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to start with Article 1 and we're going to rewrite every single article in the contract.
And even to the point of having it look, be reorganized in terms of renumbered and retitled.
So,
which, by the way, we feel is certainly your right to be able to come in and request, by all means.
But I think that sort of opened the door for us then to look at the contract in a way that we hadn't thought about looking at it before. Mm-hmm. So we started looking at every single article the same way you started looking at every single article, and I think we probably came to some very different conclusions about what we thought was important and what we thought was not important and what was key for us. And, you know, that kind of drove the bargaining in a direction that I think has caused us to end up where we are now. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have some real work to do to try to narrow some of those gaps at this point.
Right. Because, you know, when universities in the state first sat down to do their initial contracts, most of the universities took 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because whenever you open the box and let the genie out, you know, it's a time-consuming process. And we all know that. Sometimes it's worth it. And can be frustrating. And what I guess I hear you saying is that maybe it's time to get the genie halfway back in the box.
Yeah, I think we all have experienced the joys and the limitations of the Blue Book legacy, right? Mm-hmm. And that Florida has some unique challenges as the place that it is, with the history that we have of our state system. Mm-hmm. And it was certainly was a learning curve for me, coming from California, to understand Florida law and some of the interesting spaces that we've arrived at because of that. So I appreciate that that's a challenge, and I appreciate certainly that we've wanted to look at that very carefully and say, from both perspectives, what are the places in this contract that we've kind of been living with this stuff because it just has existed for so long. And there is a lot of opportunity for improvement on the contract that we were given, right? So there's a big opportunity, I think, to make some changes that matter. I think that there are also some useful things that are in the contract that we have all lived with for a long time, and there are some things that we can probably continue to live with from that contract, right? So, yeah.
So I go and I negotiate at the University of West Florida, and we have reopeners every year, like three reopeners. And the people who I bargain with, the UFF chapter up there, makes me write my three reopened articles on a piece of paper and put it in a sealed envelope. And then I have to put the sealed envelope in the middle of the table. And then they do the same thing. We grab the envelopes at the same time, you know, like...
That
must be very exciting.
The gamification, I like it.
Well, no, it's like, can we just say, I'll go first, you go, flip a coin? No. We have the secret envelope, grab at the same time. It can't vary from that. One time I said, listen, we only know, we haven't figured out the third article that we want to reopen yet. So I'll give you two, and you can give me two. No. Mm-mm. Three has to be all three at the same time in the secret envelope. Okay. Let's talk about this process. I mean, I don't know how we go about this. You know, like, I'm not suggesting the secret envelope. But how do we, you know, do we both go back mutually and come up with X number of articles that we think, you know, are critical to us? Do we, do you want to sweep through our contract and say, these are what we really can't live with in your contract? I'm not sure. I mean, last time we met, we talked. Mm-hmm. Our thoughts, our thought processes. But we didn't really identify. Where we were getting closer or where we were not. So how do we do that? Process-wise. I mean, I think it would be unfair to ask you to say, I'm going to give you a list of every article and you tell me what your priorities are and then we'll go think about it. Mm-hmm. And it would be unfair to ask us that too. Don't you think it's
sure.
True to say?
Yeah.
The envelope's looking better. I say then adjust, of course.
Yeah, I think process is one of the tricky things, and it is something that I care the most about, as Sherry and Chuck can tell you. And I think it's important that we do this right. We don't want to sacrifice doing this well or doing it right for doing it quickly, but all of those things are important. And I do think that there are places where we're close on some articles. I think that, you know, we're close in our anti-discrimination article. You know, there are some things that we could probably wrap up. There are some things that are really complex that we're going to probably need more time to negotiate. And there's space for movement in those things. And I'm open to anybody else on the team wanting to recommend a different process. And kind of maybe identifying a couple of things that we can share without everything being on the table, right? Not asking for every list, but...
So, I guess where I'm confused is I'm not sure what you want us to do in preparation for the next meeting. What are we supposed to come in with next time? Because I'm... You know,
I think it's what we're asking.
Yeah, we're asking, because I really don't know what you're asking for
sure.
Us to do.
I think in some ways it would be useful to come in with executive summaries from both sides and say, these are things that we need to address right away. Here are some things we can talk about reopening later.
Okay. You know what, if I could make a suggestion? I think maybe both sides should also come in with five things that they think we're together on. And if they're not the same, we might be TAT in 10 articles. If, in other words, we might say, really think we're together on that? But instead of just saying, so we would identify what we think we have to address now in this contract, we're going to say what we think can wait for another day, and we're going to say, here are some things that we think we can TA. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I maybe take a 5-minute caucus with the team?
Yeah. Do that.
Sure, great.
We'll be in Sherry's office.
Perfect.
Y'all did in Sherry's office?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cozy.
And then there's the conference room and the.
And this the is the conference room.
The private bathrooms.
My office.
Back in the terrible old days.
We're back on. Yes.
Great. Thanks for the chance for us to meet and chat a little bit. I think at this point, what I'd like to propose, I'd like to just kind of give you some of our, these are things that will not be surprising to you, but these are the things we have to do. And then I'd like to propose that we come up with this report and set a date and time where we provide the executive summary, trade these executive summaries before the 27th, so that the 27th bargaining session is as productive as possible. So, you know, for us, obviously for our bargaining unit, we can't go below inflation rate for a salary increase. Every year we're playing catch up, and we're in a non-competitive space with that. We have some ideas in terms of dollar amounts. We want to shift the conversation outside of percentages, things like that. We can have no less than status quo in terms of how faculty are evaluated. We can have no less than status quo for parental leave. We're already behind the national trends for what's
important. Can I ask a question about how faculty are evaluated?
Yeah.
Okay, on the current article, the AES that contains the AESP language, changes that we have made to that, that we took actually from you guys' original proposal, were to allow instructors and lecturers more input into, to actually have representation on some of the committees.
Yeah, so, and we think that's important, but it's supervisor discretion for evaluation.
Well, you're saying that cannot even be one element of it? Because it's only one in our proposal, if you've read it carefully.
Yeah, we're concerned about how that would be implemented, right?
Okay, so supervisors can have no discretionary input into faculty evaluations.
I mean, right now they have discretionary input in their narrative, right? They have quite a bit of discretionary input in the way that they write up how faculty have performed. We believe the AESP document is critical for disciplinary evaluation of your contribution to those three areas and the calculation of that.
Yeah, but we haven't changed that.
Except that you want a component of that to be supervisor discretion, right?
We think that that is important, that you have, that is one element of it. The AESP is not the sole element of evaluation. But I'm just curious, because there's been a lot of conversation about that we're trying to take away AESPs, and it's all about the supervisor's sole discretion, and that's not at all what the article says, if you read it. So I just want to get that on the table and get it clear.
Great.
Yeah, and thank you for saying that. I'll reread it for like the 16th time, but first 15 reads I gave suggests that it is. So maybe we can sit down and read it.
We have it.
Okay.
The other issue was the fact that you can be excellent in two categories.
Yeah, we know that's an issue for you guys.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Well, and, you know, these things tie back to some of my earlier statements about workload and equity, right? It's equity is about balanced experiences across people who are similarly situated, right? I know that my job is not the same as the one dentist on campus, but the way that we evaluate people who are in the same positions in departments needs to be, it's one of the most important things that we do in terms of faculty success on campus. Those evaluations tend to matter a lot in terms of the material reality for the future of people's jobs. So we're extraordinarily cautious in that area. Where was I?
Oh, you were at parental leave status quo.
Yeah. So no status quo for parental leave. I mean, we would love to have a conversation about starting to work toward family leave and having a competitive and inclusive policy for our bargaining unit, but we certainly believe that what we have now is the minimum essential for our bargaining unit. Did I miss one?
Reappointment.
Oh, yeah, and no less than status quo on non-reappointment notification. So that's kind of where we're at in terms of critical things. We think that we're actually pretty close to TAing on issues of tenure, issues of non-discrimination, and issues of sabbatical. And maybe even salary floor, based on previous conversations.
Okay, and so you want us to exchange a draft of an executive summary prior to our next meeting?
Mm-hmm. So the three areas that we identified together, right, were these priority areas, the things that we're close on, and things we're willing to talk about putting into reopeners.
Okay. Sherry, Wendy, what are your thoughts on that?
So when's our next, our meeting is when?
27th,
and we're on the 15th now.
Yeah.
So we do have the Thanksgiving holiday in between there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes it tricky. Which is tricky.
Okay. So.
Is the 27th is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Tuesday after Thanksgiving. Right. So essentially, you're asking, so we've got today, we've got rest of today, tomorrow, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
So maybe the question becomes then what's possible to offer, right? If it's not a comprehensive list, is there something?
We can get you something by, I don't see how we can do it before Wednesday, though.
Sure.
Okay, we could do something by Wednesday. I don't know how. Yeah, it'll be responsive. It may not be.
It'll be the best we can do with the time.
The best we can
allotted.
Do. Okay.
So that gives us Monday and Tuesday before the bargaining to talk about the other side's issues, and so we can come and talk about them here
exactly.
Without any caucus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd just like us to be better prepared to have a productive.
Yeah.
Session on.
You could eat turkey, read the.
That's right.
That's, listen, I'm used to that.
It's debatable which is more sleep inducing. Turkey.
Oh,
I don't eat turkey, so I can't speak to that, but I can speak to contacts being pretty sleep inducing. Yeah. Although I do keep a copy of ours next to my bed.
A better woman than I, then.
Just in case you wake up in the middle of the night and you want
to I can't
get back to sleep, you pull out, read Article 21.
No, it's 17. That was really long.
Just start from the beginning, Charlie. Just start with that preamble.
Yeah.
No
really. There isn't the one that's next to my bed.
Okay, good. Well,
okay. Any other questions? For us?
No, but this is helpful.
All right, this is Wednesday. What's the date? today?
The 21st.
The 21st.
21st.
Okay, so November.
So we're looking at, like, I can come up and do a document exchange at 4:45.
We're going to have it in the sealed envelope.
There will be a scavenger hunt for me to discover where it is.
Let's see, next
Wednesday.
I'm not guaranteeing that they'll even see anybody
in
here
the pond.
You tell me what time to show up. I will
I'll email you and let you know.
Let me know how much time I need to prepare for my scavenger hunt. Great. I think that's all we have.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay,
nice
thank you all very
you.
Much.
Thank
nice
you.
Meet you. Thanks for making today work. Since we have the room for 15 more minutes, can we use it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Great, thank you very much.